this morning I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Today I would like to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, talk about the awareness of spiritual warfare. The awareness of spiritual warfare. The awareness that we are living in the midst of a fierce spiritual battle. A spiritual battle that is going on even now as we are sitting in church this morning. And Paul tries as much as he can, the Apostle Paul tried to bring us into awareness of this truth. We see in Ephesians 6:12 where he talks about how we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But he says against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the war that we are fighting, and it almost seems like we are not aware of it. It's a spiritual warfare that our first parents became ignorant and victimized by back in the Garden of Eden. When the evil one started this conversation with Eve about this fruit on the tree. You'll notice that I use the word ignorant, and the reason is because of our ignorance regarding the things of the Spirit. We do not understand the things of the Spirit. There are two forces in the spiritual realm that we cannot see. The two forces are God and Satan. God has his angels, and they're there doing good things. And Satan has his demons, evil spirits, that are there doing bad things. And the war continues in the spiritual realm that we are not very aware about. We can see them, we cannot see them because of our limitations. We are physical beings. We are limited. We cannot see them because of this limitation that we have, limitation that we are physical, tangible beings placed in a physical, tangible world. And so it makes it difficult for us to understand what is happening in that realm as things are happening. But God tries as hard as he can to reveal it to us through his word, so that we can get some understanding of what is happening in that realm. And so we thank God for the word of God this morning. Because if he hadn't brought forth the truth through the word, we wouldn't know what is going on. But he's made it known to us. So this is one of the reasons why when Jesus, God decided to come down to redeem us, he had to come physically. Because we live in a physical world. It couldn't happen in a spiritual world without him coming down here and becoming physical with us. So he had to come and put on human flesh and come into our world so that we can see this whole act going on and understand what is happening as a result of that. So this is why Jesus came and he became very physical and tangible. And we saw him go on the cross and died for our sins. Jesus said in John chapter 3, talking to Nicodemus, he talked about this very same situation when he tried to explain to Nicodemus that a man has to be born again to receive eternal life. He has to be born again. And Nicodemus could not understand this whole concept. And he's asking Jesus, how does this happen? A man go back into his mother's womb the second time to be born again? And Jesus going, no, you don't get this. All right. He says, what is of the spirit is spirit, and what is of the flesh is flesh. This is to let us know that there is truly a spiritual world out there, or out here, that we cannot see because of our limitations. But Jesus has seen it, and he could speak to that. So he told him, what is of the spirit is spirit. This is also why he is here this morning, but we cannot see him. Jesus is here because he tells us in Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I among them. We can't see him physically, but we can feel him spiritually, that he is present here this morning while we worship him. He's here this morning. It is also why in the Lord's Prayer it says, deliver us from evil. And the reason why Jesus placed that phrase in the Lord's Prayer is because there is a spiritual world that is attacking us, an evil spiritual world that is attacking us on a regular basis. I tell you all the time that Satan is there and he plans out the way he's going to attack us before we even get out of the bed in the morning. His plan is to destroy us. His plans, scripture says, is to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his plan. That's his purpose. That's all. That's the only reason why Satan and demons exist. To steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come here so that you can have life. So let me say this. Satan is very upset with God. He is very upset with God. And he has come to realize that he can't fight God because God is much stronger than he is. He can't fight God, but he's upset. He's very angry. He wished he could, but he can't. And that's why Jesus says something like, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's power. That's strength. All right? Jesus is talking about his strength and authority. That in that strength and authority, the evil one will not prevail against the church that he is going to establish on the earth. This is amazing. But Satan hates God and wants to destroy. So he goes around and he messes with what God loves. Because he can mess with God, so he goes around and messes with the things that God loves so very much. And God loves his children, folks. Listen, God loves us so very much. And to better understand this love, just think about it. Think about your own children, my own children, how much we love our kids. We love our children so much that we are not willing to let them go. We are not willing to see any harm come to them in any ways. But God loves us more than we love our children. This is amazing. He loves us that the scripture tried to explain that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. So loved the world. All right? The word so tells us how much he loves us. It talks about the level of God's love for us. All right? And this is so amazing to think about. Look at scripture like one found in Psalm 8, verse 4. It says, David asking question to God. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you are so care for them. All right? His little mind just could not fathom the manner in which God came and delivered them from Egypt and brought them through the wilderness into this beautiful land, rich land, and is seeking to establish relationship with them. His mind could not comprehend that. It's like right now, when you really look at the extent to which God went, taking on human form and coming and going on that cross and dying to bring us life, and the kind of death that he died to bring us life, and the fact that he sent his Holy Spirit as a missionary to the earth that has been here since Jesus left and is not leaving us. And he's not leaving us. I'm going to be here with you to the very end. That amazes me. What is man that you're so mindful of us, God? But the love of God cannot be comprehended by our natural understanding. And Satan knows this. Look in 1 John 3:1. He says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Children of God. We are God's children, and God loves us so much. Talking about our love for children, giving an example of one night I went to bed and had a dream. And this dream, there was chaos in my dream. And everybody running here and there. I didn't know where people were, and looking for my family, and I found Andrew. And so he's across a cliff on the other side, and I'm saying, jump over and come over. Let's go. Jump over. And Andrew tried to jump, and as he did, he didn't make it fully across. He slipped, and then he was holding on to this rock and calling for me, Daddy, Daddy, come and help. I said, okay, I'm coming. Keep holding on. I'm coming. And just as I was getting there to hold him, Andrew let go. And he just went, Daddy, all the way down to that cliff. I was already dead that night. I was so hopeless. I was upset. I woke up from my dream, and I didn't tell any of them this dream except their mother. All right, but then I was like, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And I was praying in the room, and I went to see if Andrew was up, and he was in the room and okay. And quietly went back down. He's looking at me over there. He went back down in the room. But I'm saying this to see how troubled I was. And then it reminds me in the scripture saying that God so loved the world. He so loved us. Imagine how God felt when we fell from grace in the Garden of Eden that day. Imagine when Adam and Eve fell that day. How God felt about it. So God loves us so much. An amazing love is what we're talking about. So Satan's plans is to make us hopeless. But God has made us hopeful. God has made us hopeful. So from our psalm for today, I want us to look at some of the way through which God has made us hopeful. It's the Psalm 27, is it? And it says in Psalm 27, it shows that we have confidence in the Lord. It shows them that we have confidence with all of this spiritual warfare that's going on, all of the spiritual battle that's going on in the world today. We have confidence in the Lord. Look at Psalm 27, verse 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Notice that this text talks of three tremendous blessings that God hands down to us. And the three tremendous blessings that he hands down to us are light, salvation, and strength. Light, salvation, and strength are the three blessings God hands down to us. So let's look at light. As light, he delivers his people from darkness. We heard that through the hymns sang this morning. We heard it through the gospel reading this morning in Matthew 4, verse 16. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Our hearts were like the earth before it became livable. That's how dark we were. We were void, dark, and empty. We had nothing, nothing, nothing. And then this light came and brought forth the glory of God in our hearts. And this is the light that the scripture is talking about to us this morning. The word of God melts away the darkness. Melts it away. Luke 24, verse 32 says, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? This is when Jesus walked with the two men on the road to Emmaus. And as he talked, they said that inside of their hearts was this burning taking place. And every time I read this text, it reminds me as when God spoke and said, let there be light. And then light came and took away darkness completely out of the scene. And in that light, God then was able to create such a beautiful, glorious world that we have today. It's the same thing that happens inside of every person. Inside of us, God had to eliminate the darkness first. And then through that, we are able to see our way through and see the things of the Spirit in a broader sense. And understand where God is taking us, where he's taking us from, and where he's carrying us. This is amazing love. In John 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light. We'll never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light. The reason is because Jesus comes and he exposes everything to us. He doesn't leave anything uncovered. He shines the light everywhere, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So he is the light of the world. We gather here this morning, and as we receive God's word, light is coming. Light has come into our hearts. Encouragement has come into our hearts this morning. So that light is the light that God shines into our hearts. And this is the light that the psalm is talking about, that the Lord is my light. I'm not looking to anything else. I'm not looking for anything else. The Lord is my light. The next thing we want to look at is God as salvation. As a vision, he delivers us from eternal damnation. In John 10:28, he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. When we become baptized in Christ, we are saved from eternal damnation. We are saved from eternal destruction. And as we are in Christ, he has the power to keep us from falling. He has the power to keep us from being snatched away by the evil one. He is strong. He is able to do that. And he's making that declaration in this text. All right? I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Look at that phrase. Never perish. They shall never perish. He said, no one will snatch them out of my hands. Not even death. Not even death has the power to do so. Look in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53b. The death has been swallowed up in victory, the scripture says. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory now? Because Jesus Christ has dominated that. So he says that you are not free to die with a smile. Die smiling because God has overcome the grave. Jesus has overcome the grave. We are saved in him. Whether in life or in death, we are saved in Jesus Christ. And so it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So there's nothing to be afraid of. And then it says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. God as stronghold, we are talking about strength. The word stronghold is talking about strength. God deliver us from the defeat of the evil one. He delivered from any kind of defeat we've been delivered from. Look in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. It says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. That's what he does. He gives strength to us to overcome the evil one. He gives strength to us by the power of his name. At the sound of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he, Jesus, is Lord. He's Lord over the heavens. He's Lord over the earth. He's Lord over the land and the sea. That's how powerful he is. So when he covers us, we are covered, we are protected, and then we can win the battle because of him, not because of us. In Ephesians 4, verse 13, he says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. It is God who gives us strength, my friends. It is in his strength that we abide. It is in his strength that we live and go day by day, living by faith in his strength. He guarantees us success if we do that. This is the love of God, friends. It leaves us with a question. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's the question that is left with us. In 1 John 4, 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Perfect love drives away fear. So whom shall I fear? If God's love is in my heart, whom shall I fear? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And this is why Paul says that I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate me from the love that I have found in Jesus Christ. And the reason he's saying this is because there is nothing to fear. Love drives away fear. It's the reason Paul is saying this. It's the reason we should be saying this. If that love is in our hearts, if the light of God is in our hearts and his salvation is in our hearts, then whom shall we fear? Neither death, nor life, neither things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from this love that we have found in Jesus. I fear no evil, because why? You are with me. I pray that these words from God this morning encourage our hearts and keep us steadfast in our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen.